The first topic among these hot topics is gossip. And the way I decided to approach this was just to write it all down and ask 10 questions and answer 10 questions, which is what this sheet is going to be all about. This is the first of two sheets. And I need for some folks to sign up as volunteers and read these verses in here, so it's not just my voice through this whole thing, but everybody else, other people are kind of chiming in as well. Who wants to take on Leviticus 19:16? Frida. Thank you. Psalm 31:13. Cheryl. Romans 1:28. Paul. Thank you. Jeremiah 20, verse 10. Okay. Dean. And I think I'll take the next, we'll go through the next few. Revelation 20, I'll take Revelation 21, 8 myself. 2 Corinthians 12, 20. Kathy? Proverbs 18, 8. Mike? And we'll stop there for the time being. Okay. What is gossip? Secretive, and that's an important part of it, negative statements made by one person to another person about a third person with the specific purpose of hurting his image or reputation. And anytime anybody wants to chime in here or ask a question, feel free to do that. Now, notice that these statements do not have to be false to be gossip. Neither in the Bible nor legally. In the legal system, you can be slandering somebody without telling a lie, telling the truth. But just with the motive of hurting their image or their reputation with others. So a person can gossip without lying. A lot of people think, well, I'm not lying, so I'm not gossiping. Yeah, they probably are. The intent to damage another person is the key to gossip. That's the essential nature of gossip. It's said for the purpose of damaging. Other words and phrases associated with gossip in Scripture are slander, tale-bearing, a bad report, and whispering. Gossip is often connected with murder in Scripture. And I just pulled out a couple here as examples of this. And we we're familiar with the fact from what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount that anger towards somebody or hatred towards somebody is like killing them. It's the emotional equivalent of murder, but gossip is the social equivalent of murder. So, Leviticus 19:16. Frida.
You shall not go about as a slanderer among your people, and you are not to act against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord.
So, you're doing the social equivalent of murdering, acting against the life of your neighbor by gossiping. Psalm 31:13. Cheryl?
I have heard the slander of many. Terror is on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they schemed to take away my life.
Okay, so you can see a connection here between gossip or slander and murder. And now I wrote these two statements, and afterward I thought, they might be a little over the top. Gossips are murderous haters who confine their love for destroying others to damaging their reputations and social standing. They are social cannibals who feed their fleshly, egoistic nature on the corpses of other people's ruined reputations, which they have ruined. A little over the top, maybe, but not much.
Wow.
Oh, that's a sizzler. So that's what gossip is. It's verbally trying to hurt people without them knowing it. They'll feel it indirectly because other people will start, you know, not making eye contact with them, talking in kind of a stilted way, and they know something's wrong. They know somebody has said something, but they don't know what. It's hurt them. They know they've been hurt. They just don't know how they've been hurt or what's happened or what's been said. Why do people do it? Pretty obvious. Because we are born sinners, and the more our depravity goes unrestrained by God's word, the more we commit sins such as gossip. Paul, Romans 1, 28-31.
It says, I did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. God gave them over to depraved minds, to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful.
So right in that list of the characteristics of depravity, and these are, you know, as Paul was saying, these are characteristics that did not cause God's wrath. They are the result of God's wrath because God saw fit. They saw fit not to acknowledge God. God turned loose. He gave them greater freedom. He gave them greater opportunity to express their depravity, and this is what came out of it. So why do people do it? Because we're all born in sin. Dean?
Well, I would not be in a position to say, well, I don't hate this person. I'm not trying to destroy them. Should we make a distinction between God's perspective on the gossip and the gossip's perception of themselves? Because I doubt any gossip is probably also going to be a hypocrite and say, well, I'm not trying to hurt this person. I'm concerned for them. And self-deceive so that you don't see yourself. I think these two statements at the end of number one there are accurate. We need to view gossip for the hateful, damaging, murderous thing that it is, but at the same time, our ability to excuse and deceive ourselves, we would say, well, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that's absolutely true. If you were to say to the person, do you realize you're really, this is what you're doing is the moral equivalent of murder, they'd say, oh, no, 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 no.
It's a prayer request.
Yeah, Mike?
Well, I think one of the things that we don't do, which is ask ourselves our motives before we even open our mouths.
Yeah.
And be totally honest with ourselves, because I think most of the time we're really...
That's the key. It's so hard to be really honest with yourself. In the world, they have psychiatrists who help people try to become honest with themselves. We have the Bible, and we have the Holy Spirit, which is better. And yet, by the same token, we do a real good job of kidding ourselves, of rationalizing things away, of deceiving ourselves so that we don't really come to grips with the fact, I hate that person. You know, we don't want to think of ourselves that way.
Well, I think it's also easy for us to link it with something that's kind of a righteous act, like praying for somebody.
Yeah.
And openly praying about somebody's sin.
Yeah.
When rather than going to them privately, we pray about their sin openly. And if we ask ourselves the real honest question, why did I do that? It would be because I want everybody to know.
Yeah.
Is the flip side of this, you know, the exaltation of self would be my...
That's the cannibalism. I go up as he goes down. I feed myself. He gets consumed.
Make ourselves look better because they do something worse.
And if I don't feel good about me, then I can feel better about me by eating him or his reputation. Yeah, it's a real ugly thing. Sorry, Beth.
I think there's also, although it's not mentioned, an element of jealousy. And when we slander others, there's something they have, something they're doing. We wish
that can certainly be the motive behind it, can't it? Sure.
Jealousy. They're jealous. I think that's in there.
And that's probably a form of hatred too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, we let it get there.
Yeah. So why do we do it? Because we're sinners. What characteristics of a person are revealed by his gossip? And as Dean just brought up, number one, hypocrisy. You want to read that one?
I have heard the whispering of many, terror on every side. Denounce him. Yes, let us denounce him. All my trusted friends watching for my fall say, Perhaps he will be deceived so that we may prevail against him and take our revenge on him.
It's his friends that are saying this. You know, he put friends in quotation marks, but it's his friends who are saying this. Whispering, denouncing, hypocrisy is just the iceberg tip of the ugliest side of man. Murder, hypocrisy, hatred, it just all kind of comes together in gossip. Cowardice. Gossip is shooting someone in the back on a social level, the kind of cowardice talked about in Revelation 21:8. For the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers, and there again it's linked together, and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Thirdly, the third characteristic that is revealed about a person when he gossips is carnality. In 2 Corinthians 12:20, Paul says of the carnal Corinthians, Kathy, you want to read that one?
I am afraid that perhaps when I come I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there may be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances.
And this takes place after Paul has been there in what he later on referred to as his painful visit, the thing just blew up. He went to the Corinthians on kind of an emergency basis because he heard things were going so badly. He got there, he confronted them, things blew apart, and he left. And then he planned to come back, and it turned out that he was afraid to do that. He was afraid to do that because he was afraid when he got back there they would be just as carnal as they were before. Mike, Proverbs 18:8, again, looking at carnality as it is reflected in whispering and gossip.
The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body.
Sinful flesh has an insatiable appetite for juicy gossip. Isn't that the truth? I mean, you and I all know gossips. And when you think about them, you can see it in their eyes. Ooh, this is going to taste good. It's the worst in mankind comes out in our gossip. And untrustworthiness, I don't think I assigned that one, so I'll just read it. Proverbs 11:13. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. And again, there you have the idea that he's not lying. He's telling the truth, but it's a secret. It's something he does not want revealed because of how people are going to think about him as a reflection of their finding out that about him. And a trustworthy friend won't let that out. A gossip will. Mike?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, it's really easy to get ourselves as us and them, always looking at them as somebody else, but it's hard for us to get ourselves close to this because we think it's not us.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that we look at this personally with an understanding of our fallen nature and our easiness of getting here. The culture excuses this like it's just normal conversation.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of normal conversations are laced with gossip. So much that we don't even notice that we're involved in the gossip.
Yeah. This is the way I make friends. I pile up with this guy and we talk about him.
Right. Well, I hate to say it, but when we have political elections, they thrive on this.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to defeat their opponent.
Yeah.
They will slander them or gossip us, but whatever it is, it's not good. They should be developing their appeal on who they are and what they stand for rather than slandering or gossiping their competitor.
Yeah, and you have to wonder if there's not a bit of a fleshly, sinful delight. It's not just politics. I get to make votes, get votes, and suck it to them too. That's it. What real damage can be done by gossip? Trust between friends is undermined. People's reputations are laid open to suspicion, if not ruin. Justice is violated because the person gossiped about is given no opportunity to respond to the allegations made against him. tension, animosity, suspicion, and guilt spoil social interaction, and translate that into the church, the unity of the church is destroyed, and strife proliferates. And I'll take this one, and then have someone else take start assigning the others to some other people. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Okay, who wants to take Proverbs 6:16-19, and actually just it's 19 is really the only one that you're going to actually read. Who will take that? Corky, thank you. 1 Timothy 5:13. Sue? And then Jane, if you would, just have it ready. Proverbs, what I'm going to have you read is Proverbs 25:9. And it looks like we're going to have no problem getting there, so that'll be good. how does God feel about gossip? Not good. Proverbs 6:16-19 contains a list of sins that are an abomination to the Lord. And the last two are listed in verse 19. Corky?
A false witness who utters lies and one who spreads strife among brothers.
In other words, a gossip. Who is the most prone to engage in gossip? Those who have too much time on their hands, too little to do, and talk a lot about things other than God's word. Just things that do not edify, things that would not be pleasing to the Lord, things that are not positive, that do not glorify God. Sue, 1 Timothy 5:13.
They also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention.
Okay. So these are people who talk about things not proper to mention. They do not talk about things that edify. They do not talk about things that glorify God. They talk about unmentionable things that shouldn't be mentioned. Now we're getting down to the brass tacks about this whole thing. How can I keep myself from gossiping? The obvious answer is to fill your mind with God's word and obey it so that your life exudes the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and does not manifest the deeds of the flesh, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, and carousing. So that's where it's got to start. It's got to start with me dealing with this as a spiritual issue. Recognizing this is sin. This is not just a bad habit I've gotten into. This is not just something that's keeping me from having better friendships. This is something that God sees as an abomination. It's a sin that I need to deal with. And the only way to deal with it is the way you deal with all spiritual issues. Confess it to the Lord. Get into His Word, be filled with the Spirit, and stop doing that. Until the attitudes change, until I'm loving my brother rather than hating him, I may cover it up, but inwardly I'm gossiping to him, to myself, if nobody else. If you have ill feelings towards someone, go to him or her in private and humbly, and you can circle that word humbly, talk them out. Not discussing it with anyone else at all, not even as a prayer request. And this one may be one that you raise your eyebrows at, and not even with your husband or wife. That's right. Oh, I was talking to my husband. That's in the sanctity of our home. No, that's not sanctified. That's, you just brought defilement into your home with something that God views as an abomination. Don't talk to your husband or wife about it. What you do is you drag them into it. They're now victimized by your unwillingness to deal with your own sin. Don't talk to your husband and wife about it. Keep it a secret from him if need be. But don't talk with him about it or her. Jane, Proverbs 25:9.
Argue your case with your neighbor and do not reveal the secret of another.
In other words, don't act like a cowardly gossip. Go to the person. You know, work up the courage to go talk with this person about it. And you say, but that's scary. Good. That'll make it make you more likely to go in a humble way. So that you're not offensive. You're seeking reconciliation. You're not seeking to take a shot at him. You're seeking to make things right with him. Okay, I'm going to need somebody to read Proverbs 11, verse 13. Larry? And then Mike, if you would, Proverbs 26, 20. And then I'm going to need somebody to read Jeremiah 20, verses 10 and 11. Yvonne. And then one of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 37, 7 to 11. Buzz. Yes. You sure may.
When you talk about going to another and confronting him personally between the two, it's probably a good idea to begin by saying, what can I do to help our relationship?
With that humility.
Not what can you change to make me feel better, but what can I do to help us relate?
You're the important one. I want to serve you. Yeah, that's a great way to do it. Before you say anything about someone else, ask yourself, and again, we're looking at what can I do to stop this habit I have of gossiping. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. Before you say anything about someone else, ask yourself, would I say this if he were standing here? If so, would he feel hurt because of it? Larry, Proverbs 11:13.
He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter.
Conceal it. You're always safe in saying nothing. Always safe in saying nothing. Before you say anything about another person, ask yourself as honestly as possible, why do I feel I need to say this? Why am I saying this? Am I trying to impress the person I'm talking to? Am I trying to get something off my chest? Why am I saying this? What's my motive? Is it possible that I am motivated by negative feelings toward this person? In Titus 3:2, Paul tells Pastor Titus to remind his congregation to malign no one. And in the KJV, it's translated, speak evil of no one, and no one means no one. A long time ago, I was a pastor at the time, and I started to say something about somebody, and the guy standing there said, you know, I'd appreciate it if it wouldn't say that. I take this seriously, speak evil of no man, and it just hit me like a thunderbolt. I remember it happening. It happened 25 years ago, and it's like it happened yesterday because the guy, you know, I looked at that guy and he said, you know what, you are exactly right. I'm condemned by what I was about to do and would have done had you not stopped me. Speak evil of no one. Like your mother used to teach you. What was the old saying? If you don't have something good to say about somebody, say nothing. Very good rule. Just don't say it. Just bottle it up. Keep it to yourself. If you need to tell somebody, tell the Lord. 8. What do I do when others want to tell me gossip? Don't let them. Stop them mid-sentence if necessary. Proverbs 26:20.
For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisper, contention quiets down.
So if you refuse to listen to a whisperer, he can't whisper. There's nobody to tell it to because you're saying, I'm not going to listen. So when I give an open ear to a gossip, I'm now participating in the gossip. I'm partly to account for this, partly culpable for this. If someone persists in trying to tell you gossip, confront him or her with the fact that this behavior is so sinful, God views it as an abomination. You might even take him through this material yourself. If none of that stops the attempts to gossip, tell an elder about the problem. Why? Because of 9. What should the church do about a gossip? Discipline the person in accordance with Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17. In 2 Corinthians 12:20, Paul told the Corinthians he was afraid that when he came to visit their church, he would find them embroiled in gossip and a variety of other sins. And 3 verses later, he wrote, I have previously said, when present the second time, And though now absent, I say in advance to those who have sinned in the past and to all the rest as well, that if I come, I will not spare anyone. Paul was ready to discipline sinners in the church, including gossips. The elders in every church need to be ready to follow Paul's example. Number 10. How should I react when others gossip about me? You could try to track down every individual who has been involved in the gossip, find out exactly what was said, and set the record straight. Good luck. That's like taking a feather, pillows, and just opening it up and letting the feathers just go everywhere and then trying to catch them again. You can't do it. Unfortunately, because gossips are cowards, you will never get them to tell the truth, and this will accomplish nothing. The best solution is found in Jeremiah 20, verse 10 and 11. Yvonne, would you read that for us?
I have heard the whispering of many, terror on every side. Denounce him. Yes, let us denounce him. All my trusted friends watching for my fall say, perhaps he will be deceived so that we may prevail against him and take a revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread champion. Therefore my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will be utterly ashamed because they have failed, with an everlasting disgrace that will not be forgotten.
So let God deal with those who gossip about you. He knows what you can never know. Who said what to whom? And even better, what their motive was in doing so. And remember, gossip is essentially hurtful. The reason I do this is I want to hurt him socially so that others look down on him or don't want to talk with him. He will hold them accountable for what they've said. Meanwhile, you can freely take Psalm 37, 7 to 11 to heart. Buzz?
Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. In a little while, and the wicked man will be no more, and you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land, and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity.
That's a very good promise, isn't it? Because ultimately, we can't deal with gossip about us. Of all the people who might deal with it, we can't. Because people are going to be hedging and dodging and lying and making excuses, and you're never going to get to the bottom of the thing. You just have to leave it in the Lord's hands. Sue?
This statement, Jeremiah,
yeah.
The Lord is with me like a dread champion, is a simile, of course, like a dread champion.
You're right.
What do you think, why that word dread, I guess, is what I'm wondering. It's not a word we use much anymore. A dread.
He is someone to be feared.
Okay.
He will be the judge, and he will be an omniscient judge who knows every detail of everything. And if someone stands before him and says, well, I wasn't really gossiping, I was just sharing and, prayer request, he's going to stop him dead cold. No, you were gossiping. End of conversation. And now let's deal with it. Any other comments or questions? Not that I can answer all the questions, but I'm pretty good at comments.
I was thinking of the word degrading.
Yeah, that's a very good word with regard to gossip, Jane. That's really the essence of what they're trying to do. Degrade you, downgrade you in the eyes of other people. Jane?
So anytime we say anything negative about anyone, we're basically gossiping?
No, not at all. There are times when a negative comment has to be made. It's the motive. It's the desire to hurt. It's the desire to degrade. It's the motive that does it. Let's say you...
I have an example.
Yeah, good.
Okay. I mean, I've had trouble getting my glasses, getting the correct prescription, and I finally went in and... You know, the girl put the new lenses in, and she put them in backwards. And I was telling Dean about this, but am I gossiping when I'm relaying that story to him?
Depends on your motive.
They got the prescription wrong, and
If it's just to offload frustration, probably. If it's to inform Dean, don't get your glasses there, without that I'm really irked, I'm really irate at these incompetent, uncaring people, you're offloading a lot of bad feeling that you had. That's gossip. And now Dean's mad at them, too.
Well, I mean, I'm not mad at them,
that's
but
that's
I
your
I would
problem.
Be...
You do it.
Way to go, brother. Sensitive as the next guy.
I would want someone to be careful.
Yeah.
You know.
I heard about it, and I'm mad, too.
Who is it? Let's all be mad. Yeah, that's a very good example. And I think we have to really look honestly at our motives. Why am I doing this? Is this coming out of ire? You know, am I irenic doing this? Am I irritated? Is this an expression of my frustration and I'm venting? Don't do it. Keep it quiet. Dean?
Put it in the context that Paul raises about the campaigning for election. I don't know if it's possible to campaign honestly without raising some negative issues, kind of like what Jane is saying. Again, what's the motive here? Because, you know, for example, if I were running for Congress and my opponent, you know, voted for some bill that I think is detrimental to the welfare of our nation, I think I would owe it to the constituency to point that out. This person voted for that. I don't think that's in our best interest. Here's why I will oppose it. Kind of a thing. I think, again, it comes back to motive.
It does.
If you're trying to just do damage for the sake of damage.
And I think debates are good for that purpose, because you can't do it behind the person's back. You're right there across that stage, and you have to say it to their eye and try to get this thing out so it can be discussed on a logical, reasonable level, not on an emotional level of I'm just trying to sock it to him because I'm so irritated with him.
Okay? Yeah. One thing I found helpful as a way of tactfully pointing out to someone that they may be engaging in gossip is when they come to you about something, something that somebody else said or did or whatever, you say, well, you know, this... Before they say it, then you should say, well, if this is a legitimate concern, why don't we go to that person and try to resolve this? Oh, no.
They shove it into reverse and hit the accelerator.
And perhaps puts you in a position to say then, well, if it's not that important, then perhaps you shouldn't be sharing this with me.
Yeah. Those are good. That's good stuff. You know, and if we would do those kinds of things consistently, we would change the pattern of our lives, wouldn't we?
This connects with there are a lot of parallels to the study that I led on exhortation as well. Because, you know,
yeah, it sure does.
What kind of approach, you know, how you go to this person, what is your motive here? And there were several checks along the way to make sure that you're engaging appropriately in the use of your tongue for a person's exhortation and benefit versus their detriment.
Or am I just venting and relieving and dumping on you? Anything else? Okay, if not, let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your clear word, which does not allow us any room in which to rationalize or justify ourselves, but just forces us to come to grips, as always, with the spiritual issues in our heart. We thank you, Father, that you are not a gossip, that you are very straightforward, that you say those things that are pleasing, that your speech is seasoned with salt, just as you have told us ours should be. Help us to be careful in the things that we say. Where there is an attitude of anger or hatred, help us not to gossip, which is just so easy for us. It so fits our fleshly tendencies. But instead, to humbly go and resolve the problem and learn to love instead of being angry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.